The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
All right, well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we started in Matthew. A few weeks back, we went through Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And we just kind of, I read those verses and asked you to think of what really stands out to you as we read a word. And, oh, you kids can go back. Sorry, Rosemary. I forget when the Aaron clan isn't sitting right in front of me. And we were talking about what we had discussed a couple weeks prior to that. In our culture today, as Christians, what are the things that we should be focusing our life in? What are the primary things? And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, really cover the top three that we came up with as a congregation. And that was being an ambassador for Christ, fulfilling the Great Commission, and making disciples. So those three were the top three, which I was really excited about because it's really, that should be the primary thing if we are really followers of Jesus and we're focusing our life somewhere, where should it be? It really should be on understanding who we are, what God has called us to do, and doing that. Not doing our own thing the way we want, but really trying to hear and do what God has wanted us to do. And so the last 2 weeks, we kind of talked about just the first word in verse 19, which of the Great Commission, which is go. So it's go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples. And we talked about go, and we talked about it this way. We talked about what it means to go, but then we also had several guys gave kind of biblical examples of what did it look like throughout the scriptures when God called someone and sent them to do a specific thing that he had asked of them. And so, which was, I thought was really good. And so this morning, we're going to take our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And that verse specifically says this: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, we're going to cover some more scripture around that area, but for right now, if I were to ask you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the term ambassador? Somebody? Representative? Somebody else? Official? Someone with a big responsibility. All right. Anybody else? Got any thoughts? Pardon? Diplomacy. Okay. Anybody else? Integrity. Okay. I like that. So when we were going around and we broke up into groups and we said, write 12 things, if you can come up with them, that you think are important in our world today as believers that we should focus our life on. And this one about being ambassador for Christ. Okay, so we came up with this idea that what does it look like to be an ambassador in today's culture? And I was, I meet with five or six guys every Friday morning, and we just kind of talk through what does it look like as we're moving forward as far as ministry of the word, what we should be teaching, and so we're hashing it out to really try to get clarity a lot for ourselves and really what are the most important things. And so when we started talking about being an ambassador, I get these emails from different places, and one of them had these statistics, and they really grabbed a hold of me, and I think they're applicable that I kind of want to talk about for just a second before we jump into being an ambassador. Did you know that the best-selling book in the world is still the Bible? Still. It is still the Bible. But only 6% of the population of the United States have a biblical worldview. Think about that. Still the best-selling book, the Bible, still the best-selling book in the world. Year after year after year, still the best-selling book. And yet, only 6% of the people in the United States have a biblical worldview. So I began to think about that, and I found these statistics. In that 2018-19, there was a survey, and it says that 65% of adults in the United States have identified themselves as Christians. 65. And in, the stats in 1990, 85% said they're a Christian. So it went from 85 down to 65. And I think it was 6 years ago, they said that 12% of the United States had a biblical worldview, and now it's only 6%. So it just is puzzling to me that the scriptures outsell every other book worldwide, year after year, and it is not having an impact. So it kind of says to me that they may be buying it, but they're not believing it. And I just really want that to sink just a little bit, because I think it really makes a difference as we're jumping into this topic, and as we jump into in the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple and what is discipleship. We're going to be talking about that, but you shake your head. I think one of the other statistics, it says that 43% of millennials right now either don't believe, don't care, or don't even want to know anything about God. Those are some pretty high stats. I think it's about 2 years ago I preached a message or two around this thought that as believers, we need to hold the line. You know, I got to thinking, I live the life I live not because I'm a pastor. I live the life I live because I'm a follower of Jesus. Because before I ever did this, I was a follower of Jesus for a lot of years before I ever entered into ministry. I think that was probably 10 years maybe, I don't know, until I fully engaged in pastoral ministry. You know, we're losing a generation because they just take the Bible and they may have it, it might sit on their shelf, they might occasionally read it, but they don't believe it. And I got to thinking, man, we just need to really, in our own lives, we just really need to do a better job. And I wonder why they don't believe it. Do they not believe it because they don't see it? So Doug made comment somewhere in his worship or prayer that the necessity of, you know, somebody's going to watch your life. And if Christ is in your life, somewhere along the line, they're going to say, there's something different about you. What is that? And you're going to have this wonderful opportunity to tell them about how Jesus rescued your life and how he gives you hope and how he helps you live the life that you're living. So think about those statistics. I was for those of you that, I don't know if I've ever said it, but I was a Gideon for about, for 3 years while I owned my business back in Iowa. And I used to have this memorized. I used to spent 3 years going to churches, just kind of talking to them about the Gideon organization and how they place Bibles all over the world. And it's free. And for the most part, our dues that we would pay paid for the running of the organization so that all the money that was donated would go strictly for Bibles to be distributed. So they're in the hotel rooms. They're on college campuses. They hand them out in elementary, high schools. And in the foreword of that Bible, the Gideon Bible, it says this: the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is opened and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. You know, I think about that. I've thought about that, and I think about it time and time again. And all of you know here, probably my number one here is placing the value of Scripture where it belongs, and it's right here. It is one thing that God has left us. Put it in the language that we could understand so that we could have a connection with the God that created us. So He's not left us without witness. His Word, moments in your life, He touches your life, He reminds you of things, He awakens you, He gets your attention. Sometimes when you're down and you think He's a long way away and He doesn't care, there's a small whisper that says to you, turn to me, I'll help you. And so some of us, our road is a little slower. When we get off the path, we kind of go down it a long way before we finally decide, you know what, I've had enough of this. I might as well do what I should do, should have done from the start. I just really need to turn back to Jesus. But it is puzzling to think that where our world has gone and how year after year, all the stats decline while the Bible sales go up. So I don't know if you're like me. It must be then we don't believe it. We're not applying it to our life. Because if we did believe it, we were applying it to our life, those statistics wouldn't be where they are. All right, so we're going to look at this idea of an ambassador this morning. And we're going to have some questions and conversations. But I want to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Really, the whole of chapter 5 is good. I'm going to take some sections out of it, beginning with chapter 5, verse 11, and going through 21. And we're going to look at those verses. I'm just going to talk about them briefly. But we're really going to focus on this idea of ambassador. But Paul's speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's basically saying this when you get into verses 11 down through 16. Basically, the church of Corinth, they were just following what they could see with their eyes. They didn't see the reality of who God really was and the kingdom of God and the intent of God. They were missing it, and they were being persuaded by people by looking at them, and they were following people, and they were following them just because of what they could see with their eyes. So in chapter 5, verse 11, he says, you know, since we know the fear of what it is to fear the Lord, what we're trying to do is persuade men. And we understand that what's happening is you're getting distracted because you're only seeing with your eyes. And we get that because for a time, that's what we did. We only seen Jesus for what we could see naturally, but there's so much more going on it. And we're not here to try to say that we're all that in a bag of chips, because we're not. And sometimes you think that what we're saying is absolute foolishness to you, but it's not. There's a reality. There is a spiritual reality that you do not see. That's my paraphrase in chapter 5, verse 11 through 16. And so 16 then says, so from now on, we are not regarding anyone from a worldly point of view. In other words, from just what we can understand and see with our eyes. Though we once regarded Christ that way. And you know that, we know that, remember as Jesus was teaching his disciples, they really didn't understand him as Messiah. They didn't understand what it was going to look like for him to really die and give his life as a sacrifice until after it happened. Then all of a sudden they realized it. So Paul's admitting, he says, we got it. We missed it. We saw Christ the wrong way. But we don't do that any longer. Here's what we understand. that if you are, we're not trying to commend ourselves. Verse 17, it says, we're not regarding Christ that way any longer. We understand that if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. And the new has come and the old is passing away. Verse 18, and it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was in the world reconciling himself to Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. Because God made himself to be who knew no sin, made himself to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So Paul's is, he's kind of, all that is up ahead, so that when he gets there, he's going, now here's what you need to understand. You might not see with your eyes, you might not understand this as a reality, but look at what all God has done, and look at the change in your life, the different people that you are, how he's called you to himself. Now, what I want you to know is, he didn't call you to himself for no purpose. He actually, because you've come into this relationship, because you walked out of an old life into a new life, you really know what this looks like. And so you need to understand, because of that, God has given you a message. See, if somebody came to me, matter of fact, I hadn't been saved but a couple weeks or even a week, and somebody said, what happened to you? And I said, well, I'm not sure exactly, but I can tell you this is what I did and this is what happened, right? I had this message. And as I grew, I had even more than that message. I had a greater understanding of what God was doing and what God wanted to do, and that was bring all of humanity to himself. We understand through the scriptures that man sinned and had wandered from God, that Jesus came and he paid the penalty for man's sin, which was his death on the cross, to open up a way for humanity to find their way back to God. And if they came and they asked for forgiveness, God would forgive, because that one thing that was standing between them and God was the sin in their life. And that had to be done away with. And when you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, that is done away with. And a way is now made for you for this connection with God, for you to come to him, for him to open up your life, for you to be able to see differently, live differently, know better, know differently. These realities and these truths about God and the kingdom of God and his plans and intentions and purposes for humanity. So then he gets this part. He says, because of all that, because of all that is in you, here's your place. So we understand we're supposed to be salt and we're to be witnesses to the world around us. And Paul's saying, well, yeah, let me give you an analogy. Let me give you something that you can grab a hold of to even more maybe clearly help you see the role that you're in as a follower of Jesus. He says, basically what you are is ambassadors. And it's as though God is making his appeal to the world around you through your life. And so we need to understand that. So when we think about this word ambassador, this kind of overarching picture, and you've all said it, and I'm just going to restate it. You know, back in the time where Jesus was, and in our time today, an ambassador had much the same role. So this overarching picture of an ambassador is a commissioning. It's someone who is commissioned for a special assignment. They represent the sender, and they are exercising the authority of the sender and communicating the message of the sender. So when we have an ambassador to whatever country it is, that ambassador is there, and he is standing instead of the one who sent him, letting him know what, if that person was here, what he would be telling them, what he wanted them to know. And so, generally speaking, then, an ambassador is an official acting as a representative of a nation. And basically sent to another nation, a foreign land, the ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign who sent him and gave him authority, providing a link between his host country and the country that he represents. So when you think about an ambassador, this ambassador is to provide a link. So if you were Aussie, if you were to go to Switzerland and you were going to be the ambassador to Switzerland, you would provide a link to communicate between the United States and Switzerland. This is what the United States is saying to Switzerland. And you could say, this is what Switzerland is wanting to say to the United States. So you kind of provide this link. Now, thinking about that, just briefly, what's that look like in our Christian world? What's that look like for us as believers? Just that piece of it. What's one of the things that we're supposed to be doing? Somebody? Go ahead, bring the mics up there. Your sister Amy, and did you, Allie, have your hand up? No, just Amy. Okay, Amy. From God's perspective.
From God's perspective, from a kingdom mindset. And I think that's one of my favorite things about just the honor kind of being an ambassador of the kingdom of God.
Okay. A second thing that in one of his roles of an ambassador is the ambassador works to build relationships and develop policies that favor both the host and the home of the ambassador. Let me read it again. An ambassador's work to build relationships and build relations and develop policies that favor both the host and the home of the ambassador. Anybody have any thoughts, more thoughts about any one of those? Tony?
Yeah. That word link to me is very key, because since we're the link, or we're supposed to be the link, what will happen if there was no link between God's people and the lost people? What happened if there's no link in your job? What happened if there's no link anywhere? What happened if there's no link in the military? What happens? Nothing grows. Nothing expands, right? People are just going around not knowing anything. So to me, the question is, I take the word link more as a question. Is the link missing in us? Are we really being a link, or is there something missing? Because without a link, you can't connect to other people. And we are really the link. So if we're not linking with others, what are we doing?
That's good. Anybody else? Ozzy, did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Ozzy.
Yeah, I think that link is like a chain. And I think that in our society, chain is somewhat have broken somewhere. And I think that once that chain is connected together, then we can get back to what the message was. And I think that's very important to remember that sometimes.
Mm. I like the idea, this thought about this building of relationships. You know, you hear sometimes that that's the world out there and it's no good and those people are no good, stay away. But how are you going to be salt and light, and how are you really going to be a link? How are you going to build relationships so that you can communicate? Because people, if you've got to be able to show and express love and concern for someone else before they're going to open up their life to you, before they're going to listen to you. Doug?
Yeah, I was just as you just talked about the last couple of things, ambassadors work to build relations and develop policies that work for both parties. You know, that through salvation and reconciliation for the kingdom is souls, right? Is souls being saved. For the world, you know, I go back to what we did the other day, and we talked about Joseph, where the blessings that were poured upon those he served almost unwillingly, you know, Potiphar and the prisoner and even the Pharaoh. He was, God put him there. But the blessings upon that, upon Egypt, quite frankly, through Joseph, you know, it just shows that two-way street, that God is always looking out. And again, like we were talking about, we're going ahead of, right? He went ahead of Joseph every time. And then Joseph is just an ambassador saying, this is what my king says.
Yeah, I like
This is what my king does.
Another thing about an ambassador is that he's kind of got to walk a fine line. He lives in one country, but he's responsible to another. So you think about us as believers, we're what it says, we're in the world, but not of it, the world. So we don't live according to the world. We live according to the kingdom of God. Take it back to Joan back there.
This morning I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and it talked about under the sun. And it made the description like, under the sun, there is no hope. Under the sun, we have nothing to look forward to. And as ambassadors of Jesus, we are the link for under the sun, because we can have hope. We can share that hope. We can have meaning. It isn't all futility. But to me, what hit me this morning about Ecclesiastes is Solomon, the wisest man, was looking for wisdom in the earth, and he couldn't find it, and realized that under the sun, there isn't. And God has placed us here to be light and to send, and to show them the S-O-N, sun, rather than there is no hope in this world.
Yeah, I like that. Somebody else? Tony?
I kind of wanted to share real quick, because, of course, I have an advantage. I got this verse already on Friday, so I was able to read it and study. But there's two words on 2 Corinthians 5:11, 21, at the very beginning, that we try to persuade others. So the word persuade to me is key. And the way that I saw it, in a way, is that and I wrote this down. I'm going to tell you that just like I wrote it. We persuade men to be reconciled to God. That is the meaning of the blood of Jesus. We persuade men, if God judges the believers, imagine what God would do, what would happen to the lost. So we persuade by, and my sister here said it, we persuade by our integrity. That is very key. Like we can all say here, oh yeah, we're followers and you know we're doing the Great Commission, but God knows that when we're not here. So that word is very interesting. The word integrity to me is very key. We persuade because everyone should fear the Lord. And then, of course, the word fear is not like we're really afraid of him. We know that. But because God has commanded us to share the gospel. And the other word was conscious. And that one I wrote, believers are bound. That word, you just talk bound to the Christian message of salvation. And I sent this message to the guys, and I just last one I'm going to share with you guys. I wrote, we need to be regarded as a servant of Christ so that the message of the gospel is regarded as a message from God.
Mm. Yeah. So, I was. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, these great comments. Tony just said something, Joan said something. You know, we talk about it's a temporary assignment, right? That's the ambassador. It's right. Temporary assignment. As whatever, the commander-in-chief or the president changes, ambassadors change, right? Or the rulers of a country. Ours never changes. Nor the will of that leader never changes mm-hmm. in our case, right? Our God is constant. So the ambassador is always representing the same thing, not a party, not an agenda.
And the message has never changed.
And the message never changed. You know, Tony just said something that made me think about, we have diplomatic immunity. Do not fear the one who can kill the flesh, but he who can. So we have that, that diplomatic immunity. And so when God says in Matthew 5:28, he's talking about, all authority has been given to me. Take my authority and go. Because it's not changing. You don't have to worry about, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down your journey that the message is going to change. Never changes.
Mm, I like that. You know, this thought again that I let out with is that whether we see it or not, or whether it's a reality to us sometimes or not, this is why I push so often that we keep engaging in the Word. You need to have a constant involvement, reading in God's Word, because God's Word is going to speak to us. It's going to help us see. Because if we don't have that influence in our life, what happens is we will, let me just be very clear here. If you're a believer and you just stop with reading the Word, you stop with your quiet time with God, your light will be dimmed and the darkness will invade in your life. Do you just think with me? Let's just say we had a lantern and we could have it from 100 watt down to 5 watt and you're in a very dark room. As that lantern becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, what is greater? The darkness is greater. And it's a simple illustration, but it's a truth. For me personally, in my own life, if I ever start drifting away, I notice when I give up ground, the devil will try to take it back. So we can't give up ground. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep this constancy in our life. So the thing about the ambassador is he is representing the one that is not directly present. So who are we representing? We're representing Christ. And then what does it say about us ambassadors? It says, hey, you're ambassadors as though God were beseeching others through you. He is. That's a reality. And I think sometimes we think, well, me? The words that I say? Listen, when you're speaking for the King and the Kingdom, there is a voice that comes through your life. And it is the voice of the Spirit of God reaching into someone else's life. So we represent the one who is not directly and present. And the ambassador also needs to embody the character of his home country, following the laws and customs that are not necessarily known or welcome in the country to whom he's sent. So if you send me to Indonesia, I'm not going to really know anything about the culture. But I do know what the culture of the kingdom of God is, and I need to represent the kingdom of God in my life, no matter what it is. If it's a loose, adulterous culture, I still need to live representing the country that I came from and that I'm supposed to represent. Now, here's the thought. The Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul was an ambassador of the kingdom of God. But unlike modern political ambassadors, Paul did not originate from the nation he represented. In other words, Paul didn't come from heaven, right? Jesus did. Paul didn't. So think about that. Paul had to be adopted just like us, we had to be adopted into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. And through Christ, he had to be adopted in through Christ's sacrifice. And then, here's this thing that we need to listen to. Then he had to undergo a change of perspective. Now, how many of you, before you were believers, lived a particular way, once you came to faith in Christ, and you began to understand, because you now have the Spirit of God in your life, and you have this awareness, this spiritual awareness, and this awareness of God that you never had before, it's uncanny that all of a sudden you think, oh my goodness, that everything's the same, but everything's different. And your perspective changes. You begin to see life differently. That's what happens to us. That's why Paul, before he ever said we're an ambassador, he says, hey, I just need to let you know something that before you came to Christ, you didn't get this, but now since you have come to Christ, here's something you need to know. You're a new creature in Christ, and the old life passes away and a new life comes. And so your perspective shifts, your perspective changes. Paul no longer saw himself as a citizen of the world. But he realized that he was a citizen now of the family of God and of the kingdom of heaven. Any comments about that? Kobe?
So there's a bunch of things that make this really hard. You know, your example of Ozzy going to Switzerland from the United States. When he gets there, Switzerland recognizes the authority of the United States. They recognize that he's there standing in the stead for the leadership. We have a society that you just stated 6% have a biblical worldview, right? Our ambassadorship demands that we carry the message of reconciliation. Problem is, nobody recognizes the authority that we're going to carry it to, right? Mm. So we have an obstacle to overcome here. How do we tell people who don't believe in God that they need to be reconciled to God, right? They don't believe in sin. How do we show them that their actions are offending the God that created them? So we have this ambassadorship, but we don't have the luxury of going into it with their recognition of the authority behind it.
That's really good.
That makes it really hard, right? So real quick, me and JD from here, we were out at a park several years back and we're witnessing, and JD gets talking to this woman, and at one point he said to her, and she had made some truth claims that she believed, and he said, and they were going back and forth, and he could tell she was a little frustrated, and he just asked her honestly, he said, if what you believed was wrong, would you even want to know it was wrong? And she said no. Mm. And he said, hey, thanks for letting me talk to you, you know? And that was it. Mm. No, I don't want to know. And you said that too, that statistic a minute ago, they don't care, they don't want to know, or they don't even, not even interested in knowing, right?
Mm. Allie and then Amy.
I think even in like a sense of what an ambassador is now, they're sent to a different country with a very specific job of teaching and instructing and helping that country. And like the modern definition of an ambassador, if you went to that world or a different country with the intention of judging and looking down on the culture around you, it would be very, very hard to show them that love and to show them the ways of your country and your culture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same way when we go out into the world, that we're not called to judge or belittle, but we're called to understand their culture, to understand that they're lost and that they're broken, and then show them what they can be. Because the world doesn't have God. They don't know that they're living in sin. The Bible says that the love of Christ constrains us to righteousness. And if you don't have the love of Christ, if you don't have God in you, then you're not going to want to change, and you're not going to want to know the truth. We're not called to change their culture. We're called to change their hearts. And through their hearts being changed, then they will change their culture and their actions and who they are. So I think it's important that we don't go in with the intention of judging the people around us, but with the intention that to love them and to show them that Christ loves them, and to know that their day of judgment will come, and that we just have to prepare them for that the best that we can.
That's good. Yeah, there can be arrogance. Amy?
One of the things that I like a lot about this analogy, too, is the idea of, like, policies and stuff. You talk about, like, sharing policies between nations. So being a citizen of the kingdom of God or whatever nation it is you're coming from and going into another nation, there's you do have certain diplomatic immunities to the laws of that land, but there's also laws you have to adhere to, and there's also laws you have to adhere to from your nation. And one of my favorite things about policy, right? Paul wrote Romans, right? Book of Romans? Mm-hmm. Okay. he writes, "Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." And I love that verse because Paul did not submit to the governing authorities. He did to some degree when he had to, but when they told him that he had to turn away from his citizenship, from where his citizenship truly lied, where his loyalty was supposed to lie, he went against the governing authorities, and he ended up dying for it. And most of the apostles did just that. And that's one thing that I just think is so powerful about the idea of ambassadorship, is that there are laws that governing authorities God established here on earth that we have to follow, but we have to know when the time comes to go against those laws, and because our citizenship, our true citizenship, is where our true loyalty lies, and our true citizenship is the kingdom of God. And so I think all of us come to points in our life where we have to decide where, if we're going to live like our citizenship and our loyalty is in the kingdom of God.
That's good. Anybody else? Keith?
Last week at our life group, we were talking about discipleship, and I brought up something interesting. I wanted to read a little bit out of 2 Peter chapter 1. It talks about confirming one's calling, and it says, starting in 3, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us a very good and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." And this is the most important, I think. Well, what we mainly talked about was in verse 5. If you find it hard to disciple people, if you find it hard to reach out, then look at this. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, in other words, as Christians, we need to, like you say, stay in the Word, stay prayerfully considering what God has for us, and continue in increasing measure to develop those things, because as we develop those things, it goes back to the love, and as people see the love and hear the truth, that's what, you know, changes people's hearts, and obviously the Father reveals to who Christ is to them. So I just think we just got to keep on keeping on.
What's that, the phrase, don't, your actions are speaking so loudly, people can't hear what you're saying.
True.
Tony?
I just want to share a verse real quick that as we study 2 Corinthians 5:20, just keeps coming up in my mind, and it strikes me like really big, and I shared that with you guys before, a few weeks ago. It's 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, where it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." That word chosen, this is the word that I think about. Is that, that's the word that struck me, you know, the most. Chosen to be ambassadors of Christ.
All right. So Paul's work as an ambassador was to communicate the message of the one who sent him. And that message was a message of reconciliation. It, and a reconciler is one that goes in, there is a problem between two sides. and they are there to say, to stand between the two. How often is it that the world doesn't understand the gospel, nor God's love and intentions for the gospel, right? So they misread God altogether, and so the reconciler is trying to bring these two parties together. And so Paul understood that my role, my responsibility is to communicate the message of the gospel, which is reconciliation, the reconciliation of God to man, his creator. And so here's something to think about, and we've been talking around it. So if we are to represent Jesus to the world, we must first belong to the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of world or self. We must live by the standards of our new king and his kingdom, even though we are temporarily away from him. So we know that as believers, one day we're going to be in heaven. But while we're here, we can't live how we want, any old way we want, until we get there. That's not how this works. And that's not what God wants. Look at, so many people are watching your life. If you're not seeing a life that is reflected of the kingdom of God, then you're just going to be like everybody else. And you're not going to be a light in the darkness. So Paul knew that what his message was, and he knew how he needed to live. He needed to live a particular way. And so two things to keep in mind. When you back up in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, Paul is saying, you need to understand that earth is not your home. Heaven is your home. That's really where your home is. And that we live by faith. We don't live by what we see. And this is part of what he was trying to communicate to the Corinthians. He's going, look here, you've maybe not seen this clear enough, but let me just kind of clean it up for you. The reality of who you are and the reality of the kingdom of God and the reality of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Because here's the reality of it. You're changed, you're different. Your home, really, God has translated you from here to here. He's called you out of darkness and brought you into light. And I've done this before, these big circles and all these dots in here, and every dart's a human being, and this is the kingdom of darkness. When you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, he grabs you from here and he plants you over here in the kingdom of light. This is where you live. I'm not dictated by the devil in darkness any longer. They have no authority over my life. I'm not living there any longer. I'm living over here. And I need to understand as I move forward the stuff that I encounter. I need to understand what Keith talked about, these promises that we have. I need to understand how what God has truly done for me. I need to understand the responsibilities I have here and what God has asked me to live and how he's asked me to live here. And I've said it so many times that righteousness is a way that is laid out. And so God has called us to a place where we are made right and can stay right with him. And here it is right here. Understanding him, acknowledge him, living my life to glorify him and doing what he's asking me to do. Not what I want, how I think, how I want. It's pretty clear. He wants my life, that my life has been changed to be a representative example to others so that their life can be changed. And this hasn't shifted from the very beginning. When God came into the world and nations would rise up, his people were to be the same thing that Tony talked about. We were supposed to be representatives of the nation around us about God and who he is and the goodness of God and the kindness of God and his intentions for humanity. So as ambassadors, for us to be effective, we really have to live a particular way. We need to spread the message of him who sent us that everyone is welcome. And it's this verse that says we are to compel them to come in. And I've said that so often. The Greek word is, the root means to crook the arm. And it's the idea that you would crook your arm in, grab somebody else's arm, and it implies incessant hospitality. In other words, it is saying that we are here to help people to grab their arm and say, look, you are welcome in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you are welcome. God has made a way through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of your sins. He loves you. So this is what we are to do with the world, to the world around us. And sometimes I think all of us can say, well, I'm not doing a very good job. And so all of us have been there. So what are we going to do if we're not doing a very good job? We're going to ask Christ to help us to reflect him better, to know him better so that we can reflect him better, to know him more so that we can share. So again, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. So here's what I want us to end up with today, this thought. And we're going to jump in this thought next Sunday and kind of move with it a little bit more. The only real example that people are going to see about who Jesus is and the love of God, it's going to be reflected through your life as believers. See, the reality is that they will know about God's working in people's lives because they will see it in yours. So we are, just like Paul said, we have this, whether we see it or not, we really have this special place. We have this calling. We have this, we are here to represent. And if we're going to represent, then we need to do just that. We need to represent the kingdom of God to the world around us. And when we do that, when we really do that, when we turn the other cheek, when we extend love to our enemies, all those things, when we are living like that, people see our lives. And it might not happen the first time, but after a few times you're living a particular way, they're going to come to you and say, "Hey, Ozzy, what's it? Different. I mean, that guy had done that to me. I'd have just laid him out on the floor. What's the deal?" And you have this opportunity to represent the one that sent you there, to speak the message that you're there to speak. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for your goodness, faithfulness. I'm asking that what you do in our lives is really give us a hunger for your word. Remind us who you are. Throughout the course of the week, what I'm asking for each and every one of us that are here present today and those aren't, that you would somehow, some way, just kind of touch them in such a way to stop their life, for their life to open up and to look to heaven, to hear from heaven, so that their life is shifted, so that you are more apparent in their life. So that there is this connection, so that there's this trust, so that there's a greater understanding of who you are and who we are, so that we might continue to be light to the world around us that is in so need of light. Father, it concerns me that the percentages are so low that 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview and 65% say that they're Christians. That just doesn't connect. Father, your word is true. And it will be the thing that will endure and stand forever, the truth of your word. So I pray that you'd help us to, by faith, embrace you in your word so it will shift and change our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing week.